You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game, it's very important, Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your regular routine. We are here for you whenever news breaks, like Marcus Smart getting close to a new contract with the Boston Celtics, or like when Kawhi Leonard gets traded to our division rival, the Toronto Raptors. So we're here to talk about that. I am John Corrales. Sam Jam Packard is with me. We're the Rain and Jays. And let's start with the local story.
Marcus. I think we have to start with the other story because I think the two were connected.
Oh, really? Well, let's do that then because that's our level of preparation. We didn't even know where we're going to start. But screw it. We're going to start with the other story. So Kawhi Leonard goes to the Toronto Raptors in exchange for DeMar DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl, a top 20 protected first, and late details, about $5 million in cash to cover the trade kicker Kawhi has. So let's start with your theory.
Oh, my theory is that because you noticed that the both of those rumors reported, basically the Kawhi trade and then the Smart negotiations, one after another. And I'm basically directly stealing this from what Bill Simmons said on his podcast today, but he like thought that a sign and trade with Marcus Smart was the offer the Celtics had in for Kawhi. And so once he's traded to another team, it makes sense for them to kind of go into negotiations with Smart just because there's nothing like kind of left to hold out for. Also, hashtag embrace nuance. The fact that Smart didn't get any strong offers also plays into this, but I don't think it's like immediately once Kawhi is officially traded or by Woj Sham standards, we hear the same rumor. I think it would make sense that Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris would have been part of like the trade piece the Celtics possibly offered, because we've all the reporting has said they did not offer their top five players. So that's my bold conspiracy theory stolen from Bill Simmons, who I think is pretty good, has a good working relationship with the Celtics front office and would probably know these things.
It's the first I've heard of it. I didn't listen to the Bill Simmons podcast, but that sounds feasible.
It sounds kind of cromulent. It
sounds
could happen.
Very cromulent. Yes, indeed. I think that makes a lot of sense because and we talked about this the other day with Jay, signing and trading Marcus Smart is a little bit difficult, but there are very smart people involved and they would have figured out how to do it and how to structure the deal. And yes, there is a connection because part of the Marcus Smart signing is the fact that his average annual value somewhere around $12.5 million, is a great number to throw into a trade. So, you know, putting all of these pieces together, yeah, that makes sense. That the Celtics had a potential deal in the works for Kawhi. The Spurs never really gave it much credence, and there they go. So, yeah, I'm in. I buy it.
Well, what'd you think of the Spurs return? I feel like there's been criticism like, oh, Ainge couldn't offer a better deal, or Philly. I don't know. I think DeMar DeRozan's a pretty good basketball player. Like, I understand the deal for the Spurs. I feel like it's Pop's probably last year coaching, give him, like, a lot of talent. DeMar DeRozan's an all-star, an all-NBA player. He's a damn good scorer. Of course, you're going to make fun of him for taking a bunch of long twos, but he dropped a 30-piece on the Celtics last year. They lost the game because he missed the game-winning shot, so maybe that's not the best argument in his favor. But he was very good that game, and Jaylen Brown could not hold down on his pump fake. But DeRozan's a good piece, so I think the deal is one of those that kind of makes sense for both sides.
Yeah, I think it's hard to kind of gauge what this trade is going to be, but they did the best that they could, both sides. And I think you have to understand where both sides were coming from on this. The Spurs had no leverage anymore, none, on any other front, except with a team that was kind of, for lack of a better term, desperate. And I don't think the Raptors were desperate necessarily, but I think the Raptors understood that last playoff run was basically as far as that core was going to get them. And the most damning thing was DeMar DeRozan sitting on the bench, even though they got swept. But at the end of game four, when the Raptors were making a just furious run without him on the floor, that was kind of like one of those moments that said, boy, you don't know how much longer DeMar DeRozan was going to be in Toronto. Like, I don't think at that moment you could say, he's probably not going to play out the rest of his contract there. And hindsight being 2020, you can look at that now. So Toronto looking to make a move, seeing that a superstar player is out there, offered up an all-star player. Now, they also they gave up a promising young big. Jakob Poeltl's no joke. He's a pretty good player. He's not going to be an all-star, but he's a pretty good player. And they also managed to keep a bunch of their young players, OG Anunoby and others. So they
Siakam, that's the kind of
Pascal
thing
Siakam.
The Spurs is that all the talk going in, I guess as this shows you like what talk means, is all of the talking as like they got to give up at least OG or Siakam. It turns out the Spurs are just okay with DeMar DeRozan because he's that good. But I think for the Raptors, it makes sense because the big question is, or there's two big questions, his Kawhi's health and whether or not he's coming back. And I think you're just reliant. He still has to take a physical, but they're relying that he can kind of come back and play basketball at the kind of the level he was at, which was a top three player in the game. And then his contract, they're just going to try and sell him on like one very good season. But say he leaves after the year, then they are no longer under the kind of the length of the years, the DeRozan contract. There's like one more year on Lowry's contract. They can kind of rebuild right on the fly with the younger core that they have of younger players. I don't know about Serge Ibaka. He still has a big number up there. But I think it makes sense for them just to kind of to get out from under the DeRozan contract and take a flyer on someone who could be a superstar.
Yeah, the return that they got was a big chance. They're just hoping that they could pull a Paul George and OKC and convince Kawhi after a year of playing there. And he has to play there. If he sits out, they're probably going to fine him and not pay him that salary. So he's got to play for at least this season in Toronto. He's got to show the rest of the league that he's still Kawhi Leonard. So they're hoping that a year in Toronto, embraced by those fans, in a city I've never been to, but everyone talks about how great a city it is, and I believe them, that Toronto is a bigger, more metropolitan, much more to offer city. It's a pretty big market. It just doesn't count in the United States television markets. So they have a lot to offer. It's just not the glitz and glamour of the Lakers. But the Raptors, best case scenario, they convince Kawhi to stay. Worst case scenario, he leaves, and they just proceed with the teardown and starting over with their young guys. Those young guys that are their bench become their starters. From the Spurs' perspective, you got an all-star back, and this is probably your only chance to get an all-star back. And maybe it's because Pop wanted one or two more years of relevance, and he didn't want to go out as part of a rebuild. Who knows? Maybe that's the case. But when you're giving up a talent the level of Kawhi Leonard, getting an all-star back and at least a first-round pick is meaningful. And considering the way the Spurs draft, it doesn't matter that it's top 20 protected. It probably wouldn't even matter because the Raptors are going to be at the very worst, the third best team in the East. So that pick's going to be below 20 anyway. So for them, it's not a great haul when you look at if you trade Kawhi, like in a vacuum, trading Kawhi should get you multiple first-round picks and multiple young players. But in that situation, with no leverage whatsoever, to get back an all-star player is probably the best they could have done.
If I was playing NBA 2K, I would totally go after the Sixers or the Celtics offer for picks. But you know, for the win now mode, for the stay competitive mode, getting back DeMar DeRozan is probably the best player that they could get back. So it'll be interesting to see him and LaMarcus Aldridge compete to see who takes the most long twos. Maybe DeMar DeRozan will step back and start taking threes. Maybe Pop can guide him, and he'll just become a very efficient three-point shooter. He has been having a pretty great year last year and was shooting more threes up until, like, February. But who knows? I think the Spurs won 48 games last year without Kawhi Leonard. So adding a guy who has the ability to put up 25-plus points per game to that, I mean, I think they're still in position. But, again, if I was playing NBA 2K, I would always say, oh, the Warriors are probably going to win again. Let's punt till next year and just go for the picks. But, I don't know, that doesn't seem like the Spurs mentality at all. Maybe because they are so good at, like, identifying guys later in the draft or developing European players or things like that. But, you know, I think it's going to be interesting. And here's the big question is, do you think – this makes Toronto better than the Boston Celtics?
I do not. I think it gets them close. Of course, you have to see if Kawhi gets healthy. But if Kawhi's 100% and Lowry it does what he does and with that bench, they're good. They're definitely good.
The thing is, they were already damn good. Like they in the four games the Celtics split with them, it was home and home. Obviously, because that's how the Celtics roll. But the Celtics got their asses kicked by, I think, like 20 each time they went to Toronto. They were already good, and they may have just upgraded, I guess, their second-best player now to their first-best player if Kawhi comes back as Kawhi.
Yeah, so they're good. I think that puts them right there with the Celtics. I don't think it puts them ahead of the Celtics. I think the Celtics starting five next year, if nothing crazy happens, is Kyrie, Tatum, Brown, Hayward, and Horford. So you got a point guard, a big, and three guys that all play the same position. They are all versatile. That is a better starting lineup, even though Toronto has the best player of the group. That's still a better overall starting lineup than whatever the Raptors are going to throw out there. I guess the question then becomes, is the Celtics bench going to perform, how they're going to perform? Does Rozier and Smart and Marcus Morris, assuming Marcus Morris isn't traded, do those guys come back and play well? Does Semi Ojeleye step up and become more of a contributor? The Raptors definitely have the better bench right now, but the Celtics bench could potentially be much improved considering a lot of those bench players were starters from last year. So I would put the Celtics ahead of Philly and Toronto. I think Philly and Toronto are basically even, and they're nipping at the Celtics' heels.
I think it's more of a two-horse race between the Raptors and the Celtics, with Philly a tier down. But this makes the Raptors quite good. You mentioned their bench. Kyle Lowry has always been pretty good. They play the Celtics well, and Kawhi Leonard, this is all contingent on the big if of him being healthy, is one of the best perimeter defender in the NBA and has shown that his ability to get buckets by his own. That's not a phrase that makes sense.
It is now.
It is now. That's the beauty of the podcast. I think what sets the Celtics over the edge is they're also getting a very elite wing player. I really believe that Gordon Hayward is going to open up the entire offense for the Celtics and really make them way more dynamic on offense. Last year, their offense struggled at times, especially when Kyrie Irving was not on the court. And I think Gordon Hayward's going to play that second ball handler role. You're going to put him with bench units. And I think the Celtics offense should be a lot better next year with the addition of Gordon Hayward. And I don't expect their defense to really take a hit. They brought back Baines. Hayward himself is a good defensive player. I think Hayward actually is just – I think people underestimate just because they haven't seen him in a while how good of a player he is. Maybe he's gotten a better shooter. Shout out to your theory that Brad Stevens confirmed. So I think that's going to put the Celtics over the edge. But if Kawhi Leonard's at the top of his game, that's going to be a battle in the East. And it's like I'm not disappointed. It's like okay, that makes the East that much more interesting this year, and it kind of makes me more excited for the season.
Yeah, I totally see that. And look, you got other teams. Milwaukee is going to be an interesting team. The East is definitely top heavy. The best teams in the East can compete with the best teams in the West, throwing maybe – well, Golden State. I'll put Golden State in there. What the hell? Why not? But I think the Celtics – look, the Celtics can do a lot. We'll talk about this throughout the course of the offseason and whatever. But I think there are ways where the Celtics can basically keep Hayward and – either Hayward or Irving or both on the floor throughout the entire game. Like, maybe not early because Brad Stevens will – try to make sure everybody gets their rest, but playoff time, assuming full health, the Hayward and Irving, one of those two guys will be on the floor for the entire game, which is just huge considering what the Celtics had to deal with last postseason. So,
oh, and if they're not on the floor, if they happen to have like both need a breather at the same time, you still have Jason Tatum and Al Horford.
Yeah. and Jaylen Brown.
Yeah. It's an absurdity of riches. And, yeah. I think that like that, I really imagine the Celtics offense is just going to be that much better next year. So, but yeah, the Raptors definitely got better if Kawhi plays, which I'm assuming he's going to, because that just makes sense. He's a basketball player. I don't know if he's going to resign, but you never know. Anything can happen in the NBA. Literally, there's no reason like debating whether or not he's going to resign. Who knows what's going to happen? Maybe he falls in love in a club in Toronto and he stays in Toronto for the rest of his career. Crazier things have happened.
And look, I think Paul George just kind of changed the dynamic, because no one thought Paul George was going to stay unless you had, you know, the OKC goggles on. No one thought Paul George was going to stay, because same situation. Obviously wants to be a Laker, was, you know, opted out. Just, it wasn't as dramatic as sitting out the whole year and all of that, but still, Paul George was as guaranteed to be a Laker as anybody was throughout the course of last season. And here he is re-signing with the Thunder. Who knows what will happen with Kawhi Leonard? I think other forces are at play. I definitely think he has outside influences that are pushing him. I definitely think that his sneaker company has something. That's just my guess. But
who is his sneaker company?
Nike, Jordan.
Those jerks.
Unless they want to sponsor the podcast, in which case, all hail Jordan Brand.
Then not Jordan Brand. I was about to say, I wore Kyrie Irving's today when I played basketball. And boy, did they make me jump higher.
We are willing to say whatever it is. Give us money.
I have two questions for you about the Marcus Smart contract and how it impacts the team moving forward.
Okay.
If they get... that's as reported the $12 million range for the first year, that puts them about, I think, whatever the kind of parameters of the deal could be, how it's been reported, $48 million to $54 million. It pretty much puts them around $5 million over the tax. Our main man, Sammy Sheehan, tweeted out today suggesting that perhaps to get under the tax, you trade Mook as a veteran player who's probably going to see his role diminished a little bit, and who has that exact kind of $5 million slot to get the Celtics under the tax. Would you do that if you were the Celtics? Does it hurt, like, I guess, their championship chances this year? And I guess, I mean, it's not our money. It's Wick Grosbeck and all the owners' money. But, like, to get under the tax in terms of, like, running an operation, is that worth it?
I think... yes, it is. If you have a long-term, mindset of making sure that you try to avoid the repeater tax as long as you can, I think if you have an opportunity this year with this team, I think you can get away with not having Marcus Morris around. So, but you could have said that last year, and then look at what happened. So. Yeah, I can see the possibility of like maybe going to Atlanta or Sacramento and throwing them second round pick or something like that and saying you want to make some sort of deal here. I think there's value to that. I also think there's a way around it, and it was suggested by Keith Smith, who tweeted out that he's hearing some buzz about the new contract, that it could be front-loaded rather than the typical contract that would start at, say, $10 million and incrementally tick up until he gets to the whatever the reported number is, $46 to $50 million range. It would start at a higher number up front and then slowly descend in value, which is what a version of what Isaiah Thomas did in his deal with Phoenix. And why that would be important: you pay the tax this year and screw it. You just pay the tax. But next year, if his, I don't know where the number would start, but it would start somewhere north of $15 million this year. Next year, if you get down to $13 million, and then Al Horford opts out and you do the 5-year deal with Al Horford for next season, and his contract starts at somewhere at, let's say, $18 million. Well, now you've got Smart and Horford to next season for basically what you would have been paying Al Horford next season, which is about $30 million. So if you can do that and Marcus Morris plays the season, then walks, and then Semi Ojeleye becomes a more useful player and all that stuff, the cap goes up next year, which means the tax goes up next year, which means you could theoretically avoid the luxury tax either next year, maybe, or the year after when the salary cap is supposed to spike to $116 million. And that tax is going to go way up. Now, there's a risk. Kyrie Irving opts out next year, and you have to pay him. And then the following year, Gordon Hayward is owed $34 million. I assume he will just take that money, but we'll see when we get there. So there are ways. This is a long-winded way for me to say there are ways to get around the tax that do not involve trading Marcus Morris or whatever the situation is. I think that if they front-load this contract and have it descend, they can structure a deal where one of the next 2 years they avoid the luxury tax and basically get the same effect of pushing the repeater tax off by another year.
And front-loaded is something that Marcus Smart would want as well, as Danger Card explained to me today, because I'm an idiot and he knows all. The same annual value, like, or the same total amount he's getting wouldn't change. He just gets more money up front, and of course you want your money quicker than rather than delayed. My second question for you is, because of all the kind of tax gymnastics that they would have to play in signing Marcus Smart to this deal and doing the extension without Horford, does this mean the likelihood of them re-signing Terry Rozier has gone down? I think Terry Rozier is going to be a restricted free agent, and then Kyrie's going to opt out. There's a lot of money to be going around, and I think Terry Rozier is probably going to get more money than Marcus Smart got, just because I think his ability to score just gives him more value, and then I think teams next summer are going to have a lot more cap space. And I think Terry Rozier, after Kyrie Irving, what other point guard are you going to go after? I feel like the Indiana Pacers targeting Terry Rozier would be a great signing for them.
I actually disagree.
And intrigue.
I think Terry Rozier is screwed next year when it comes to free agency because a lot of the same forces that are in play this year. He's a restricted free agent. And maybe, this is the asterisk to Terry Rozier is screwed. The Celtics are looking to avoid the tax next season, let's say. If teams look at the Celtics cap sheet and they say they can say they'll match Terry Rozier all they want, they probably won't. They can offer Terry Rozier a reasonable contract, whatever they deem reasonable. Is it $10 million? Is it $15? Whatever the number is. Figuring the Celtics won't match because they're going to pay Kyrie. If the Celtics pay Kyrie and they have Marcus Smart on this long-term deal, then I think Rozier is gone. Then a team can offer him a reasonable deal and he'll go. However, if Kyrie somehow walks, then Rozier is screwed because the Celtics will just put out there that they will match. And there are so many free agents out there next season that a lot of money will get paid out before they get to Terry Rozier. And there were over 40 one-year contracts signed in this summer. And all of those guys are going into free agency next year. And that goes in addition to the big names that are going to be on the market next season. So I just think, yes, there's a lot of money, but there are a lot more players that are going to be free agents. And teams don't want to mess with a restricted free agent. They'd rather go with the unrestricted guys. And by the time the restricted free agents come around, like this season, Clint Capella is still on the market. I think the money will dry up and Terry Rozier will be in a lot of trouble.
Well, you're right. I think it depends on Kyrie, but I think in your description of the Celtics waiting basically to see what Kyrie will do, and you saying that if Kyrie resigns, they won't take him. The next best option is, I think, Terry Rozier in terms of point guards. And so what happens when the Knicks strike out on Kyrie, or I don't know, whatever options that the crazy – I guess the Knicks is only the real rumor I've heard about where Kyrie's going to go in 2019. But I think there's no reason not to offer him big money. I don't know if it's going to dry up. I think more teams have cap space, but I'm not a cap wizard and kind of can figure those things out. But in terms of other free agents who play point guard, I can't think of any other people who I actually think Rozier is the second best option in the market.
So just going through there's some nice resources out there. Keith Smith put out a little bit of a resource here for, as of right now, the projected cap space. He's got cap sheets out for all these teams. So Atlanta, Brooklyn, Chicago, Cleveland, Dallas, Denver, Yeah, there are a lot of teams out there with serious money that they could spend. Philly will have money to spend if they don't. They won't get anybody this year. So there will be money to spend out there. So it's possible. But when you look at the free agents that are on the market, the big names, Kyrie will be out there, and who knows. Kemba Walker is going to be out there. So there are guards that can be targeted for teams with money. And in that frenzy, I think a lot of the money will dry up. So my stance, I think, is simply Kyrie returns, then Rozier is gone. Teams can offer him a reasonable deal, and the Celtics won't match because they just don't have the need to spend that much money on, you know, when you consider the tax on a third string guard. If they fear that Kyrie will leave and Kyrie will probably make his decision quickly, then I think you start Marcus Smart and you bring Rozier back as your backup and you figure out some sort of deal that pays him something in the range of Marcus Smart this year, maybe even less, because you won't have to pay him because teams know the Celtics will want to bring him back.
So you hope there's no team out there like the Nets just throwing around, or the Kings. Who knows what the Kings would do?
Who knows what the Kings will do? The Kings don't even know what the Kings will do. I think ultimately
it's that kind of approach that led to the New York Knicks having Tim Hardaway Jr. And it's like, oh, this crazier things will happen. I guess we'll match. And then boom, they have to.
Yes.
Or no, they offered it and the Hawks didn't match.
Yeah.
Oh, we really got that story backwards.
Yeah. Well, I think the ultimate lesson is in 2 years, you're not going to have Rozier, Smart, and Kyrie on this team. One of those three is going to go. And it could be Smart for all we know. Again, Marcus Smart signing for whatever number he's signing at makes him tradable. And the Celtics, what the Celtics do not have on their books is that $10, $11, $12 million player. And we've been harping on this, but in a star trade, why Marcus Smart was involved in a Kawhi trade was, when you look at the Celtics books for this season, Hayward makes $30 million, Horford makes $29 million, Kyrie makes $20 million, and then your next highest paid player is Jason Tatum with $6.7 million. So if you're offering money to the Spurs for Kawhi's $20 million, almost $21 million, he's on the exact same contract as Kyrie Irving, you have to offer Kyrie Irving. or you have to offer some combination of other players that just, like we said, unless you're offering one of Jaylen Brown, like it didn't work. But if you had Marcus Smart in the deal, then you're not giving up an extraordinary amount of talent to match a contract. You're not giving up Jaylen and Jason and other, like you're giving up a good player and another player to kind of match. So it's possible that they give Marcus Smart this contract and he becomes tradable because Anthony Davis decides, screw this, I'm out of here. Enough with me in New Orleans. This is just not going to, it's just not going to work out. And they have to match a $25 million deal, and Marcus Smart's money suddenly becomes very, very useful in that.
Yeah, that's why I like the idea of the Celtics signing him, especially with that front-loaded, very tradable deal. I'm all for it. I like Marcus Smart the player, and I like him at that contract.
That's it.
Let's do it, Danny Ainge.
Let's do it. So the report is that it may be done by the end of the week, and I have no reason to believe that there's anything else behind that. There's just nowhere else for Marcus Smart to go. There's no trade brewing. There's no Sacramento is basically done. They're not going to throw any big money his way. So that's it. Marcus Smart is probably coming back unless there's some wild curveball. So,
but that could happen because it's the NBA.
Yes.
Tune in next week.
Or tune into the next podcast, which will maybe be, I don't know, sometime this week. We'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see what there is to talk about. Something else could come up and we'll podcast. If not, then we might not. So, but subscribe to the Locked On Celtics podcast anywhere, wherever you get your podcasts. We're here for you. And give us that 5-star rating. Give us that good review. Make sure you spread the word, share the podcast, tell your friends to listen to us, the Locked On Celtics podcast, here on the Locked On Podcast Network.